The Dark of the Night, written by Treescape and read by Litra. A Star Wars prequel trilogy fanfic with the pairing Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker. Rated teen. Tagged for vampires and reverse chronological order. Summary. He hears Anakin before he sees him, a careful fall of footsteps, and breathing too steady to be real. Obi-Wan had just about accepted the fact that he wouldn't be seeing Anakin tonight. He has no right to be pleased at being wrong. But there it is. A slow curl of anticipation as he waits for Anakin to join him. He holds it close within his chest, where he won't have to think about it too much. Or, Anakin's a vampire. Obi-Wan's a vampire hunter. They fall in love about it. The body of the vampire lord is just beginning to collapse in on itself when Obi-Wan manages to stagger past it to Anakin's side. He spares it but a glance. Soon there will be little enough left of Sidious, no more than scattered remains of dust. It won't even be enough for a necromancer to convene.
Guess you were right, Anakin manages,
his voice scratchy and faint.
You can take care of yourself just fine.
His head lolls back against the scratched wall of the abandoned warehouse, his face paler than it has any right to be, even for one of the undead. Still, he manages to track Obi-Wan's every movement, and that should be more unnerving than it is. What it is a relief. He's not too far gone, then. Only close. Obi-Wan crouches gingerly, his knees still smarting, his head still ringing. That last is going to take some looking after, later. But he doesn't have time for it now. He reaches out to tilt Anakin's face a little, fingers curling beneath Anakin's chin, just brushing the black collar of his leather jacket. It aches a little, the way Anakin leans into it. Yes, well, I doubt I could have managed without you to distract him, Obi-Wan admits. Anakin smiles. It looks like it takes a great deal of effort. It makes something twist in Obi-Wan's chest.
Just wanted to hear you say it. Told you he was bad news.
You did. Obi-Wan hesitates, because now might not be the time, but it's gnawing away in his gut. Anakin had told him a great many things about Sidious over the past weeks, but there was one thing he'd neglected to mention.
The things he said... He sired me,
Anakin says with a grimace, confirming what Obi-Wan has already guessed.
But he didn't command me. Didn't own me. Not for a long time, anyway.
No, Obi-Wan says softly. I suppose he didn't. Obi-Wan would be very, very dead right now if he had. Anakin smirks, but it's a look of pain more than humor.
Couldn't let him kill you. You're mine to kill, remember?
As if I could forget, Obi-Wan murmurs. But I'm afraid you're not going to manage it like this. Obi-Wan has seen a great many vampires in a great many stages of demise over the years. It's his job, after all, but he knows very well there are only two things that will restore Anakin now, after the damage he's taken and his sire's magics. Well, that one's certainly not an option anymore. By all rights, Obi-Wan should end it. By his vow, he's put it off for too long, but Anakin simply watches him, makes no move, not closer, not away. And there's really only one decision Obi-Wan can make.
I think I made it a long time ago, he realizes.
It's easy to nick himself on the forearm. Shallow, superficial, where it won't impede him much if Sidious has any post-mortem surprises, but still enough to draw swift red to the surface. It's easy to brace Anakin's head, fingers twined into the surprising softness of bronzed curls. It's easy to press himself to Anakin's mouth, the sharp metallic scent of blood noticeable even to Obi-Wan's nose, stronger than the faint smell of old paint and disuse. Too easy, a great many would say.
You've been threatening to drink my blood all year, Obi-Wan reminds Anakin quietly, with a raise of his eyebrows, when the vampire just looks back at him.
It's a long minute before Anakin makes a ragged noise in the back of his throat, before his tongue teases out against Obi-Wan's wrist, before his lips close with faint pressure. It's not unpleasant at all to finally have Anakin's mouth on him, to see those dark eyes glaze with something that isn't quite lust, but isn't far from it. But then, Obi-Wan had never truly expected it to be. The cut begins to heal over quickly, but it's enough to get Anakin onto his feet. It's enough to put a little color back into his face, to begin the process of recuperation. Anakin looks at him with something strange in his eyes, something a little uncertain, a little vulnerable, a little hopeful. Come on, Obi-Wan says, tugging one of Anakin's arms over his shoulder. Let's get you home before the sun comes up. It doesn't occur to him until later, when they're already there, that when he'd said home, he'd meant his own bare apartment. He hears Anakin before he sees him, a careful fall of footsteps and breathing too steady to be real. Obi-Wan had just about accepted the fact that he wouldn't be seeing Anakin tonight. He has no right to be pleased at being wrong. But there it is. A slow curl of anticipation as he waits for Anakin to join him. He holds it close, within his chest, where he won't have to think about it too much. There's a brush of pressure as Anakin falls in at his side, a slight bump of shoulders in the night. Obi-Wan allows himself the barest glance to his right, and the familiar sight of Anakin, hands shoved into the pockets of his black leather jacket, and the gold of his curls ablaze beneath the streetlights. The boulevard is mostly empty, just the barren bulk of buildings and cars against the curbs. Somewhere up ahead, on 9th Avenue, there's a squeal of tires, probably Dex, just arriving at the diner. Why are you awake so late? Obi-Wan asks lightly as Anakin matches their steps together. The moon is low in the sky, the sun barely an hour from dawn. By all rights, Anakin should be holed up in the old mausoleum he calls home, preparing to wait out the daylight.
Why are you awake so early? Anakin snarks back.
And it's a fair enough question. Obi-Wan is usually home by now, too, trying to catch a few hours' rest before first light. There's no use being out this late in the night, when his prey are scarce to be found. Or, he admits reluctantly in the privacy of his own mind, when Anakin is scarce to be found either. You know me, Obi-Wan says. Sleep and I never did get along. Anakin makes an irritated sound, and Obi-Wan can't help but roll his eyes. Trust him to have somehow managed to find the one vampire who cares if he gets enough sleep. Silence falls, broken only by the sound of their footsteps in tandem. And it's a few minutes before Anakin speaks again.
There's a new vampire come to town, he finally says. Very old. Very powerful. He's bad news. The worst news. I wouldn't want you running into him in the night.
Obi-Wan gives a vaguely offended hmm, though it's mostly just for show. It shouldn't send heat spiking through his veins to be reminded that Anakin likes him alive.
I'm the only one who gets to kill you, Anakin had decided a year ago, the first time they'd met in the dark, right after the vampire had helped him take down three other demons.
I think I can take care of myself, Obi-Wan says, nonetheless, because he certainly can, and Anakin knows it. Obi-Wan has been in this business all his life. He's taken out hundreds of vampires over the years.
I'm serious, Obi-Wan.
Anakin tells him, and Obi-Wan frowns, because that's interesting. But also more than a little concerning. Anakin is truly worried. Obi-Wan would have been looking into this new threat anyway, but now he has even more reason to be curious. Then I thank you for the warning, Obi-Wan says, and then glances up at the sky. They've been walking for several minutes, at least. Anakin is pushing it close. But shouldn't you be getting home? Anakin nods, though he allows a few more steps before he turns to go.
Until tomorrow, then, he says lightly in farewell.
You know, one of these days I'm going to drain you dry. Obi-Wan shrugs, a slow roll of his shoulders against the moonlight.
One of these days I'll put a stake through your heart.
He'd attempted that the first time they'd met. By the creed, he should do it again now, instead of standing here joking about it. Anakin smiles, a bright flash of teeth in the night.
You can try, he says. I'll be looking forward to it.
It's a job well enough done, Obi-Wan supposes, by which he means that he's alive and the vampires aren't. Granted, they hadn't been alive for quite some time, but the point of the matter still stands.
9 out of 10,
a voice comes from over his shoulder, some dozen feet away in the night. Obi-Wan looks pointedly at the 5 small piles of dust, the wind in the graveyard just beginning to stir them away beneath the moon, and turns. 5 out of 5, actually, he says as he watches Anakin approach.
Sure,
Anakin says as he strolls forward, stopping just out of arm's reach.
And you get a 9 out of 10 on execution. I tipped you off, after all, didn't I? You should lose a point for that.
Then kindly don't do so next time, Obi-Wan says dryly. Though, well, he doesn't think he really means it. He's still not entirely certain of this pattern he's fallen into over the past few months. The one where he regularly accepts help from a demon of the night. But he certainly can't deny that they work well as a team. He doesn't know what's led Anakin to this choice, what's brought him to fight against other vampires and demons, but he might wish Anakin wasn't so annoying about it.
What you wish is that you weren't so charmed by it, Obi-Wan thinks, irritated.
He's tired, and more than a little sweaty, the fabric of his dark jacket heavy on his shoulders, and here Anakin looks like he's walked off the front page of a magazine. Anakin shrugs, easy and nonchalant, the moonlight bright in his hair.
I'll take it under consideration, he says, in that tone of voice that says he won't.
And then he throws a glance at the stake that Obi-Wan is in the process of tucking away.
Though I guess there's one vampire left, if you're going for full marks tonight.
Perhaps tomorrow, Obi-Wan says. Unless you're planning to try killing me tonight.
I think I can hold off for another night.
Anakin smirks. Give you time to prepare for your exam. It's supposedly the best-kept secret in Coruscant. A little hole in the wall called Dex's Diner. Obi-Wan believes it. He's already becoming something of a regular since his arrival in town a couple weeks ago. It was the best blueberry waffles Obi-Wan had ever tasted in his life. At this precise moment, a couple of hours past a brilliant winter sunset, it also has a vampire tucked away in the back. Long legs stretched out beneath the table of a corner booth. Obi-Wan recognizes him on sight. They'd had a very interesting introduction just last night. Obi-Wan narrows his eyes as he glances around the diner. There's a couple seated near the door, and a woman at the bar. But otherwise it's just Dex and Flo, and Anakin, as the vampire had insisted on giving his name. Obi-Wan thinks he can keep the damage to a minimum, if it comes to a fight. He only hopes he can protect everyone here if Anakin has decided he's looking for something that's not on the menu, so to speak. He winds his way past the gleaming tables and chairs towards that corner booth, towards that stretch of long limbs and golden curls. No vampire has the right to be so damn attractive. Anakin watches him with narrowed, interested eyes as Obi-Wan drops into the chair opposite him. The steak Obi-Wan always carries feels solid and familiar in the deep pocket of his jacket as he tucks one hand in, curls his fingers about its simple weight. "Relax," Anakin drawls. "Dex knows what I am. We have an agreement. He helps me out with my food situation, and sometimes I help keep his place free of demons." Obi-Wan raises an eyebrow, skeptical, and letting it show. He's not surprised that Dex knows about the Night World. He seems like the kind of guy who knows everything that goes on in this city. What's surprising is that he trusts Anakin. "Except for me, of course," Anakin says lazily, leaning back in his seat. "Don't look at me like that. No one dies to feed me. You, on the other hand, tried to kill me last night." "If I recall," Obi-Wan says pointedly, "you threatened me first." To his credit, Obi-Wan thinks grudgingly, Anakin doesn't point out that he'd possibly also saved Obi-Wan's life. He just smiles, slow, confident. "Gotta keep things interesting, don't I?" Obi-Wan comes to Coruscant hunting a vampire, and he never really leaves. Oh, he stakes the vampire quickly enough, a sharp blow to the heart his second night in town. Unfortunately, it's not the only vampire around. Neither is his second kill, or his third, or his fourth. Coruscant is teeming with monsters, bursting at the seams with them, as if the city is choking on corruption. And Obi-Wan has a duty, after all. Qui-Gon had lived and died, going wherever he was called, protecting people, killing vampires. It's Obi-Wan's job to honor his legacy. It's what he's trained for. It's how he can do the most good. It's what he's always expected for himself. What he's never expected is Anakin. The end.